to order at 7 p.m. The Hidden Valley Lake Community Services District Regular Board Meeting, January 21st, 2020. Would you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Would the Secretary please call the roll?
Director Graham?
Present.
Director Grace?
Here.
Director Freeman?
Here.
Director Lieberman?
Here.
Director Mabeji?
Here. Is there approval of tonight's agenda?
I move to approve the Hidden Valley Lake Community Services District Regular Board Meeting for January 21st, 2020.
Second.
It's been moved by Director Graham and seconded by Director Graves to approve tonight's agenda. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Oppose? Abstain? Motion carries unanimously. Item number 5 tonight is employee recognition. And we have two people to recognize. Neither one of them are here. One of them is Operator 1 in the field, Craig Shields, who has been with us for a little over 3 years. He is moving on to another agency and moving on in his life, and we want to thank him and appreciate him and wish him well in the good work that he's done for the district and all his future successes. If you could convey that, Alyssa, I know you probably see the staff, field staff, more than we do. Please tell him thank you and good luck. And I guess you guys are having something for him
tomorrow at lunch we'll see
him. A final farewell. So out with one and in with the new, and we have Nicholas Hendricks, who is our new utility technician in the field. And I think Nick's been with us about a month, maybe more.
It will be at the end of January. Okay. Started December 26th.
Mm-hmm. So he joined the team, and Dennis and field guys, I understand, are really happy about that. And I've met him. Really nice guy.
So
we wish him well, too. Item number 6 is presentations. And we had this actually last month, but I wanted to wait till Alyssa was here. Because, once again, the district has received the Association of California Water Agencies Top Outreach Award for the 2019 year. Outreach is all about quick and timely responsiveness to legislative alerts that are sent to us from AQUA that need attention. Makes a lot of difference when they're lobbying bills on our behalf. Sometimes it's not always for a bill, sometimes it's against it. And Alyssa's timeliness and quick response on the issues that are key is the reason we received this award. A lot of agencies try to get this. So it doesn't matter if you're big and small or small, it matters how quickly you respond and how you're keeping tabs on it. So we accept it for the district, but Alyssa, wish to personally thank you for your outreach efforts, because it takes a lot. So thank you very much. And we have a badge. Okay. The second item on the presentation list is Coastland Engineering's donation to the Clear Lake Gleaners Food Bank on behalf of the HVLCSD. And they do this every year, usually around the holidays. They make a donation on our behalf. So thank you to them. And nope, we don't know how much it is. And we don't need to, but it's a good thing to donate to. And we appreciate. Because it's a donation that isn't given to us directly, we are, in essence, giving it to something else right away. It's acceptable through the district, and appreciation to Coastland. So, thank you.
Can I ask what the Gleaners are?
It's a food bank, but I don't know that. I asked the same thing.
Not a typo. It's not supposed to be Gleaners, right?
No, it's like gleaning in the fields where you pick up the leftover stuff.
Oh. Okay, thanks. Item number 7 is consent calendar, items A through E. Just wanted to make a note that when and if item A is approved, Director Graves will be then free to take those approved minutes to the bank and actually get his name on the signature card so that he can start to sign checks. We tried to do a draft and the bank wouldn't take it. They said they had to wait till the minutes were approved.
So.
And so.
We're planning on taking care of that tomorrow.
Great, thank you. So is there a motion to approve tonight's consent calendar?
I move to approve.
Has a consent calendar ever died?
Hidden Valley Community Services, item number 7, consent calendar, A, B, C, D, E.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thanks. Moved by Director Graham, seconded by Director Freeman to approve tonight's consent calendar. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Oppose? Abstain. Motion carries. I was just saying, I wonder if a consent calendar has ever failed for lack of a second.
A lack of a motion.
Okay, item number 8 is board committee reports, and finance committee is up first. Director Graves attended his first finance committee meeting on, well, no, he actually attended one before, but he didn't participate. This was his first participating finance committee meeting on January 15th at 12:30. We kind of do have a lot of things to tell you about. So as far as financial reports go, if you look at your budgets to actual, we're about halfway through our fiscal year as of December 31st, and we're doing pretty good. Water's doing a little bit better, actual to budget, and sewer is doing fine at this point. So that's kind of the overall. You will see that the transfers did happen into the reserve. So. The next thing we did was we took a kind of a cursory review of the draft audit. We had Norm Newell on the phone from Smith & Newell, and some of the highlights he kind of ran through with us is that, and he'll be here next month to give the audit presentation, but he did note again, and this has happened for the last several years, that we have had a decline in our net position. Not really good. And I did go back all the way to 2012 and noted the declines. So a little of that may be due to some depreciation, but you have to remember that a lot of our assets are already depreciated to zero. One of the things he said that was of note to him is that we're having an increase in restricted funds, and that means funds that we have to use for very specific purposes like loans, is causing a decrease in unrestricted. He also said that the increased OPEB liability that we, over the years, the past few years, we are, you know, being required to state on the balance sheet is another thing that we have to consider. And he can speak to it more to you when he comes next month, but that, again, we're in a decline net position. The good part about the audit, we had no deficiencies, we had no material weaknesses, and I don't think we had any correcting journal entries. Is that right? So thank you, Trish Wilkinson. Woohoo! So quite an ordeal. Norm is also handling all of our FEMA audits, and lots of busy work between Trish and Alyssa on audits and reports. So. Thank you. Number 7 on our agenda, not on yours, is the Coyote Valley Plaza. As you're all aware, we had a lien on this property when Poppy Bank owned it, and when it was sold to the new owner, which is called Coyote Valley LLC, the lien was not satisfied. The title company is First American, and the latest information we have from them is that they are working on this with their claims department. So it's about $34,000. $12,000 of that goes to Harvesters. And that's that issue with the pump that they put up when Coyote Valley Plaza was being built. And so that's the status of that. Depending on further communication, we may have to go to legal counsel over it. So keep you posted. And then the next thing on our agenda was the CV Strategies contract. It's later on in your agenda. The committee is recommending that we terminate that contract at this time, but we can talk about it later. The next thing we had to address was water and sewer availability fees. This was an issue brought to our attention by a constituent last month, that there in fact is on our tax bills for people who have unimproved lots. There is a fee that is charged for the availability of the services, and this is going to get a little complicated. So the main claim is for the unimproved lots that are affected by the moratorium. The ones that are not, which is units 4 and 5, are not going to be impacted by this. But in 1994, prior to Prop 218, which was passed in November of 1996, you could just put things on the tax bills. Agencies could. So this went on to the tax bill. We thought it was by 218 process. It was not. But when 218 passed, priors were grandfathered in. So since the moratorium, we have collected about $43,000 in sewer availability and $146,000 in water availability. And the question, it's legal for us to charge this, but the question came up, is it right when, in fact, because of the moratorium, the service is not available? So staff is considering options. At some point, this might have to come before the board as a single item agenda. I don't know what the solution is, because all of it is difficult. And the solution may be that we just keep it like it is. And if we get relief next month, and I did receive a phone call from Paula Whalen today, it may become a moot point. So it's something for us to think about.
Question, Judy. Those figures that you quoted for water and sewer?
From Trish, yeah.
Are those just for the unimproved lots that are under the moratorium?
Or no,
is that for all the unimproved
that's
lots?
All of it.
Okay.
So she would have the task of going through every APN. Because unlike the UBLs, you can't tell what unit they're in. By the UBL, you can. By the APN, you can't. I don't think. I don't know. I don't know a lot about APNs. So that is one thing for our consideration. And we talked about, we had a visit from our bond administrator, and all that is fine. So that's what we did at Finance Committee. Are there any questions? Okay. We can move on to Personnel Committee. You guys?
Our Personnel Committee met on the 6th of this month, the 8th of this month, and the 16th. We have another meeting coming up the 24th. This is all going forward with the employee handbook for the most part, trying to go over the work that the HR attorney sent the redlined copy to, and we're trying to format that into a usable handbook for the district to use. So it's taking a little while, as you can tell, but we are meeting on it and trying to get it done. We also, on the January 8th, had a presentation from Dennis White on the reasons, a really nice brochure, or a report that he put together, not a brochure, a report, going into the hydrant flushing program, water valve exercise program, leak detection repair program, just a whole myriad of things that need to be done that we need help with a utility tech. So I was hoping this would be in the board packet. I don't think it was. I didn't see it. So this is something we'll maybe get this together and get it to all of the directors so that they have a copy as well. I think it would be good to take a look at it. Other than that, do you have anything you want to add, Carolyn? And you know what we're doing.
Thank you, Jim. Emergency Preparedness Committee. Who's on? Oh, yeah. You haven't met yet, right?
No.
Nobody to meet with? You didn't meet with yourself?
That wasn't nice, Carolyn.
You have some material that you could.
I'm just interested in a little levity.
Yes.
Do you want my past notes?
I would love them.
Some
yes.
Things from.
I need to get up to speed on this. I have no idea who's done what. Yet.
We hadn't had a meeting for quite a while, huh? Right, Penny?
Yeah.
So.
And who's on the committee besides was on?
It was the GM and Penny and myself.
Okay.
So, in your defense, you really haven't had anyone to meet with. Yeah.
Yes, if you could, bring those next time.
I'll see what I can do with them.
If you could bring them and just leave them with Penny, that'd be great.
Well, yeah, and you've got the minutes.
You've got the minutes?
Yeah. Penny can forward you the minutes.
Okay.
Great.
Fantastic.
If I have anything to add to that, I'll forward that.
And the Lake Water Use Committee doesn't have anyone to meet with either, so. I know Alyssa is going to attend. Well, it's a little bit related to it's near the lake. Alyssa's going to attend a meeting about the emergency preparedness or for the hazard mitigation for the Coyote Valley Dam, right?
Yes.
Yes, and you're going to meet with HVLA.
Tomorrow, Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
I'll be there too.
Okay. Oh, good.
Schedule.
The Valley Oaks project, I did have another message from Mr. Porter, and he just said that he is really anxious to meet, well, not to meet, to know when we'll have an interim GM. He's looking forward to meeting with him, and I know, Carolyn, you're on that, so he just said let him know as soon as we have somebody, and he'll make himself available. He said there was some difference about connection fees, something about what's on our website and what he was quoted.
Well,
so
he wants a quote for the commercial building for the grocery store.
Okay.
And he was working with Kirk on that, so I don't know where that left off.
Okay, so the new interim might actually be able to find that email communication and take that up. So thanks. Staff reports. Does anybody have questions on the financial reports?
I have one question only for the area. And I think it went to the sewer CIP, the operating expense. And I see we had budgeted $60,000 for INI study, intern fellowship.
Yeah,
it's the Spartans.
It wasn't a specific Spartan.
Yeah. And it showed year-to-date actual zero. So I thought for the year 2019-20, we would already have some expense. So I was just curious.
We have.
Transferred over this month, so you'll see it in next month's reports.
Okay. Thank you.
They had some difficulty in their billing system. They weren't able to bill us in a timely manner.
Okay. I didn't
right.
know when, what part of the year, but I thought from June through now there would have been some.
We have paid some bills.
They started billing September. So September
Pardon me?
Through December, you'll see you next month.
They started to bill in September.
I got you. Thank you.
Any other questions on the financials? Administration customer service report. Any questions? Aqua State Ledge, I think Lissa is still not in session.
24th, so Friday.
Okay.
And then our first bill packet, there's about 5 bills in it.
Okay, thank you. Field ops. Questions for field ops? I didn't really have anything. I was just noticing the vac truck miles are starting to move up, which is good. And
I didn't see the admin customer service report. I must have looked over it.
I think there were 4 lockoffs.
I thought it would be after financials. And
it usually is. But there's financials. Wait, I did see the thing with the overtime and the
Yeah, but I didn't see about the walk-offs that we used
to
see.
Oh, and the billing. Oh, Jim, maybe good pickup. Maybe we missed it.
I don't know.
Did we miss that by mistake, Penny?
Probably, if you're not seeing it.
Yeah.
I can get a copy out to you.
Sure.
It's just always interesting to look and see what the walk-off.
No problem.
Especially in what we've got in light coming up, where we'll have a longer term to wait before we can do the lock off. Is that? I thought maybe that was the reason. I didn't know. No. Okay. Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, nice report, Alyssa. Thank you. I see everything is moving along with the mitigation.
Things change by the day, and as you know, the John Wanger email is already outdated from this report.
So. Thank you. Maybe that would be a good time to tell them about that. Okay. So, we received yesterday, it was in my box, but I couldn't get there because the door was locked, the amended contract for Terracon, for the Mountain Meadow North line replacement project. They held their pricing, and the start date will be in March. The terms are the same, and we will sign the contract and return it to them as soon as possible. Half of the funding is already in place, so we are moving towards that. And anything new? Anything else?
No, they are anxiously awaiting that signed contract.
Right.
Will it be fully funded by March?
We will not be fully funded by March, based on transfers alone. But I think that we will be able to pull enough together, maybe out of 321, not just 3. Well, it's coming out of 320, and there's a little bit more in 321. No?
325.
325, sorry. So we think we'll be able to bridge that nicely. And then if the interim is able to help us with reductions in the administrative part of the project management, we might be looking at saving some money there. And Coastland certainly showed willingness to work with us on that, so I'm optimistic that we will do that. So that would bring the price down.
How long do they anticipate that project will take?
I think 35 days.
35 calendar days or work days?
Business days.
Business days.
Yeah.
Okay.
Weather permitting, of course.
Right.
All
right.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not longer than, right? I think it was 35. Okay. So, and I just want to mention on the PFASs. And I'm going to spare you the pain of hearing me say that, because I will just go with the acronym. This is a new substance. If you want to show off, you can say it.
The perfluoral compounds.
Yeah.
Perfluoral acetate and sulfonates.
Fluoroacetyl alkyls, whatever.
Yeah.
So these are the two new, per and pro, are the two new surface water? Yeah. Compounds that the state of California is mandating minimum levels on. They come from chemicals that are in, like,
plastics.
Clothes from a laundry, the hospital laundry, that kind of stuff. And they're, like, stain-resistant fabrics and
Scotchgard.
Scotchgard. and they're leaching into the water supplies, and I don't think we've ever tested for them yet, right? But I don't anticipate that we would have a big problem.
No, it's a, did we include that in the packet? It's to the level of parts per trillion, and it's extremely difficult, and there's only one facility anywhere near us, which is Sacramento, that actually has the capability to do that testing. And the PFAS requirements are actually, as per that flyer, applicable to those who have been issued a monitoring ordinance. We are not one of them, so we are not required at this time, but obviously, you know, it's good.
Okay.
We do have a quote from the facility in Sacramento if we do need to go down that path.
How much is that, just out of curiosity?
I don't remember.
Because she's not going down that path tonight.
Okay. It's a very complicated test procedure.
Yeah, that's really... So the reason we tapped Gary, Alyssa, I don't know if you know, is because he his education and background is in chemistry. He was a chemist, and he knows a lot about those compounds and a lot of information. So he's a good resource.
And hopefully we don't have any.
And hopefully we don't have any. So thank you. I think if we can move on from staff reports... We're on item number 10, and this is just a reminder to the board to keep us focused on our priorities. I will say one thing on the moratorium. Paula Whalen called me today from Wagner and Bonsignor. And as you know, they're representing our interest in the case we're making to the state for our relief from the moratorium. She said that she had spoken with Peter Keel, and they are planning to give the state a nudge very, very soon and remind them that they owe us a decision no later than February. So she said they are on it and will stay with it. When we reach the decision, when we get their decision, we can either acquiesce, refute, well, depending on what it is, appeal, but they will be talking to us about all our options once we receive it. So hopefully it's good news. Okay. Item number 11 is discussion and possible action. Consider an amendment to the NBS rate study that was completed on 4/20/19 as proposed by Greg Klumpner of NBS. I had a recommendation on this that I wish you would entertain before we even get into this. Since we are close to having an interim, and since that interim has a lot of particular experience in rate studies, and since I think it would be beneficial for him to speak directly with Greg about the evolution of our study and Greg's recommendations, I thought it might be a good direct conversation. Would anybody like to table this until we can give this information to the interim GM?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. Not only that, but we didn't get this till Friday, right? So I didn't see it till Friday.
No, the amendment is what we got. The rate study is the same.
Right.
It's just the pages, but yeah. Well, we got it in the board packet.
Right.
Yeah.
Friday.
Yeah, well, we received it fairly recently.
Well, that's when you get all your information.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Well, we're not under the time constraints that we were anyway now.
Correct.
Until this coming June, so.
Right. So any
got
proposed.
Time to work on a 218 or whatever.
Any proposed changes would be effective. And, you know, also to tie in also that 10 to 20 year asset management capital project plan, it's all a great tie-in, and given the experience base, I think it would be a good thing. So, Jim, do you want to move to table?
Yes, I'd like to move to table.
Second.
11.
Okay. Moved by Director Freeman and seconded by Director Lieberman to table this item. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstain, motion carries. And that, actually, Penny, I think once you table it like that, we can bring it back anytime. Thanks.
Right.
Okay, item number 12, reconsider the contract with CV Strategies. Jim, why don't you speak to this a little?
Yeah, let me speak to that. I would suggest that for the same reason we table this, but here's one of the things, since I've had conversations with them, there are things that they have done that we have not received yet we've paid for. So they have apparently a bill estimator for the website as long as, and a bill calculator when we give them the proper
rates.
Input.
Yeah.
Individuals can go onto our website, get a link to their landing page, and see the ratepayer could put in their amount of water that they use and see what that's going to cost
uh-huh.
them, or the current bill, and see what the new bill would be. So they say they've worked on that. As a matter of fact, they've spent a total of 10 1/4 hours on both of those. They have begun some, in fact, spent 15 hours on the 218 to begin design, the 218 notice and what have you. They've given us the notice, but I would recommend that when we go further and you know whatever our interim may decide or come back to us with, that we keep those designs or utilize those designs, since again they were billed in November.
Mm-hmm.
They did do a so-called growth article. I had a question about that. I'm not sure which one it is. Also, they worked on a video script, and they worked on FAQs. I'd be most interested to see what those FAQs were. And so a lot of this, so those items specifically, I would like to at least grab before we, you know, cut the cord.
Yeah, good
right
idea.
Right now, they are stopped. They haven't done a bit of work, and they will not be billing us. So there's no real issue to move, to just leave it sit until the interim can take a look and see what he wants to do. And I would certainly work with him to make sure that we got what we paid for.
Okay. Because, yeah, we should definitely, all that property
yeah.
belongs to us.
Yeah.
And we can still use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we can.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Anybody?
Yeah.
Everybody agreeable with that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So then we don't have to do anything. The contract is pending.
No, I would just say let's
yep.
you know,
we'll just just leave it like it is.
Defer, table it, whatever
yeah.
you want
to
do.
We don't even have to table it
because yep.
There's just discussion.
It's discussion.
And
okay.
The way you left it with them was everything's on hold.
Exactly.
Right.
Penny and I talked with them and mm-hmm. you know, they understood that, and I believe I followed up with an email and I copied Penny.
Yeah, you did.
And
copied me.
Else, yeah.
yeah. And you know, the contract is an easy out. It's just a written
exactly.
notice either way.
Yeah.
So, but I, yeah, thank you for that, because we should have all our property before we
yeah.
end the contract.
Yeah.
Okay. Item 13. This is an interesting one. So, as you know, we amended our definition of overtime in accordance with legal. And one of the issues that Dennis and his field staff brought forward was that when there is a holiday and they are required to work, they are entitled to 8 hours holiday pay. Every employee is. When they have to come in and are required to work on that holiday, they also get time and a half. With the overtime rule, that got a little messed up because you actually had to work the 40 hours and holiday was considered part of, was not considered in part of those 40 hours. So, this is an important issue to them. They rated it as one of the most important things. So I don't know that we should be redefining overtime as much as, so does everybody understand that if they came in like on Christmas, which did happen this year, they would get their 8 hours of holiday pay, which is the benefit we afford, and then they also get time and a half. So they're actually getting 2.5 times for that holiday. But when you think about it, Dennis can make them work. It's sometimes not optional, and it is holiday family time. And there are like 11 holidays a year that this has to happen. So they have to come in anyway to do the reads and do the labs, so that's a minimum of 2 hours anyway that they must do. It's like milking the cows. Doesn't matter what day it is, you have to do it.
Twice a day.
Yeah. Yeah. Wisconsin. And so what I think, I don't know if it's better to have this as a differential for mandatory work on holidays, or if we should adjust the definition I'm totally in favor of it. And if there's opposition, certainly discussion. But I think what we need to do is send Joan an email and just ask her to frame this for us. What's the best way to do it?
What was Dennis's complaint? Exactly.
So when we redefined overtime, we excluded vacation, sick, and holiday from those 40 hours. Mm-hmm. And they're completely okay with the vacation and sick. They're like, that shouldn't count towards overtime. But their issue with the holiday is that they'd only be getting time and a half, and they want 2.5. They want the holiday pay plus the time and a half when they are mandated to work. So maybe the best thing is just to get Legal's weigh in on it. She's usually pretty quick about email, and that's the least expensive way to communicate with her.
So the Christmas Day pay is not really figured in on the overtime. It's just a holiday pay plus the 1.5.
It's like, well, the holiday pay is the holiday pay.
Yeah.
Everybody here gets 8 hours of pay, even when they're home by the fireside.
Yeah.
When they have to come in, they want the time and a half. The way the rule is written now, it doesn't allow that. So,
It should.
So I agree with you, it should. Does anyone think that it should not?
I think it's good, but I think it's a good idea to read by legal and just make sure.
Yeah, how we could best define it in the handbook.
Exactly.
So we don't cause confusion.
Yeah, since we just finished updating that.
Yes.
And see, then
we're talking about on-call and two-hour minimums and things like that.
Yes.
So what is the net effect to the district? I mean, how often does it happen?
11 times a year.
And then for how many hours during those?
Anywhere from two minimum on the labs. Mm-hmm. And then, like, say something breaks or they have an emergency, they have to come back and work the holiday.
So what were we going to do, give them straight time?
No, they would have
holiday
got just
pay plus
they would have got just like plain time and a half.
Well, I mean, if they're getting holiday pay, was it considered because of the way we wrote it on the definition that they would only get straight time?
Not straight time, but the holiday would not be calculated into overtime. Overtime's time and a half.
Well,
I have no problem with
that. They want the holiday pay and the time and a half.
I don't have a problem.
I don't have a problem with it. Oh, also, Dennis pointed out to me that it is the practice at Calistoga, Clear Lake Oaks, and a few other agencies that he checked. This is what they do for field staff for mandatory holiday work.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I'm trying to think of past years what we did. I think we did the same thing for some of my companies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's confusing. Well, when I worked in the hospital, we didn't get 2.5. We got what they called a differential for working the holiday. So that was a long time ago, so it's probably more money now. But if you're all okay with it, I'll just run it by and get the proper way to frame it. Okay, thank you. Item number 14. So the board met yesterday and extended an offer to an interim general manager candidate contingent upon a full, complete, and approved background check and a completed contract to accept the position of the interim general manager for a term of 6 months. He telephoned me this morning and appreciates and accepts the offer. And he would like to start on February 24th. I think I gave you all the FYI, right?
Yep. Yes.
And so we don't actually vote tonight. I reached out to Joan Pugh Newman and asked her if she would be available to put our contract together, our services agreement, and she said absolutely she would. So Penny will initiate the background check tomorrow. She's working with the candidate. She's fully on board with all that. And then Joan will start to put the contract together. And as soon as we have it, what we will do is vote at the February meeting in open and regular. And I hope the candidate by that time, certainly he'll have reviewed the contract and signed it, We vote on it, we sign it, and there we go, off on February 24th. So we're really excited. He does have the task list. And any questions, Gary?
How long does it take to do the background check, just out of curiosity?
I don't know, Penny?
It can be anywhere from two days to 3 weeks. The last one took quite some time. It's going to be a pretty intense background check, so.
Mm-hmm. And we do the same for all of our general managers.
I was just curious about the timing.
Right, and actually the timing worked out great for us because we have to do this contract at an open meeting, a regular meeting, and he doesn't want to start until the end of February, so it actually worked out really good. And I'm sure we'll have it back by then. And then all the terms of the contract will be public, and we'll vote on them in the public meeting. So that kind of makes 15
moot.
Yeah. And we're all the way down to public comment already.
No public.
Oh, Gary's going to run over because we're missing the public.
I have a question pertaining to the holiday pay for field staff. Is that only going to pertain to field staff, not office staff, or is that just going to...
Correct. At this point, field staff are the only people that are mandated to work on holidays.
Right.
They don't have a choice.
Okay.
So, and I'll ask Joan about that if it affects...
Yeah, there was a situation.
Depending on the definition, defines the whole work week. That's why I was asking if it would...
I don't know if she's going to suggest that we remove holiday pay from that definition, mm-hmm. or if she says that there will be a separate writing for mandated work.
Okay.
For the whole pay period, 2 weeks.
Well, I don't know about that either, because Dennis was then like, well, what about the day after the holiday if we get called in? And I was like, I don't know about that. But all that will be...
Well, currently it's defined as the work week, so it would depend
mm-hmm.
on our current definition.
Yeah. As Jim said, he's dealt with it. Dennis said lots of other places do it. I'm sure Joan knows how they handle it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it really does apply to field staff because so far they're the only ones that are made to work on holidays. Board member comment?
I have three things.
Sure.
after some news that I got this morning, I called Penny this afternoon and asked her if she would go and get a sympathy card for Jim Comstock's son, Wesley, who passed on Friday night unexpectedly. And so I have that here, and if you guys would sign that. Wesley was 41 years old, and...
How old was he?
41.
41.
Yeah.
Accidental.
Yeah. It appears as though it was accidental. It was a. He is. I don't know if you know him. He's. He was a medical device salesperson. Mm-hmm. It was all over the world, he had. So his hours were, and his timing was pretty screwed up. He was having some problems sleeping. From what I understand, and had a prescription for sleeping pills, and apparently the prescription did something to his body, and he did not wake up. So obviously, the family is devastated. So we could sign that.
Close family too.
Very close.
Very close.
Yes.
Oh, that's too bad, Jim. Thank you.
The other two things, in a conversation with HVLA General Manager Randy Murphy, the board has sent the moratorium letter to the State Water Resource Control Board and expressing their hope that they would arrive at a speedy, positive conclusion.
Good.
And took us the basic parts of the letter, and it's a lot of Kirk's information that he had sent previously on the last letter was in there, and that letter is available now on hvla.com under the board packet, and you can read it there. But what they're also looking to do is to ask us. They're asking us what else can they do. they realize it's, you know, obviously they're getting pressure from their, from the same ratepayers that are pressuring us. So I leave that up in the air. What else we can do, we may want to think about that. The final thing is that, obviously with the rains coming or here, we're looking at the culvert and the culvert on Green Ridge Road by the lift station is, I think looks, appears to be overgrown with berries, with the weeds and stuff. Mm. And a couple of years ago, Sam got the backhoe and dug it out again. I think it just needs to be looked at, and Dennis will do that and see what he thinks to make sure that it's not blocked. The reason is that Ignacio down at the corner of Green Ridge and Deer Hill got inundated with it when we had
Valdivinos.
He got flooded out for the two rains that we had in 17. Mm. And so part of it was because of the water coming down the road itself. We blew out, we being HVLA, blew out the culvert underneath the road then, 2 years ago, with a back truck. So, you know, the water has been flowing fairly easily and it's no longer an issue, we think.
Whose culvert is it?
Oh, it's in Valley's. So, but the culvert that is after it appeared comes off the road
I
and it comes by
this
by the district's property,
yeah.
Which that pie-shaped piece of land there,
yes.
All right, it goes right on the alongside it, so what it really is needs to be cleaned out by the district and at least looked at. So if Dennis could look at that, it'd be great.
Didn't the county work on those in the past because of their...
Well,
they have an
the
easement.
Technically, the county is responsible for the culverts in Hidden Valley. And the county has said, yes, we are.
Mm-hmm. But they don't do them.
But there's no money for it.
There's no money and they don't do it.
Okay.
And then 1 year they brought in the crew. And they did a good job that year. They cleaned a lot of them out. But then I think that was the last time they were in here.
So the other thing is that Hidden Valley Association is renting a back truck at $150 an hour. From a Ukiah joint, and they are coming down and cleaning out the common area culverts. And that the individual homeowners can have their culverts cleaned out at that $150 an hour.
Well, that's pretty good.
What, or portion of the hour or whatever it is, you know? Yeah.
Split it with your neighbor or something, you know?
Split it with a neighbor, they could be, well, technically, it's the culvert underneath your driveway, if you have one, you're responsible for, and any culverts that are along or ditches along the utility right-of-way that's parallel to the road is also the homeowner's responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of them that are
cleaned out,
a lot of them are covered up.
Uh-huh.
And you see a lot of it when you see a pipe on one side and no pipe on the other side, you know the issue. So we started to publicize that, and... hopefully, if a homeowner wants to do it, they can call the office, Hidden Valley office, and just book it. And when the guy gets there with the truck, he'll tell them how long it's going to take. Or he'll say, it looks like an hour, or it looks like half an hour, whatever. So.
Yeah. It was down the street from me.
I think it's a great deal.
I have to tell him about it. That's a good idea.
Any question? Yes, from the audience?
I just have two questions on two of your items. The moratorium letter, definitely looking forward to reading that. Do you know how that may correlate with the meeting that I have with Rich Corey tomorrow? He sounds like he represents a lot of people and that he's got a petition that's been signed.
Yeah, he's been
here. He was here last month.
Yeah,
he was here last month.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's pretty up on it. So
yeah.
It'll be an interesting...
He had been working with Kirk,
yeah.
And I think Jim Jasmine, they were working
yeah, they
before
were working
Jasmine moved,
point, yeah.
And Sandy Bayless and Rose Decker, and Rich kind of has been keeping on this for some time.
I think definitely the narrative in terms of what do we do or what do we suggest that the lot owners do is going to be something that has to be consistent with... I mean, there's certainly calls that continue to come in through, you know, the billing department, and they need to know what to say, you know, when the customers are asking us, what do we do?
Yeah, so Rich has been doing this for a while, and they actually have had a lot of things they've already done.
So do you think it would be meaningful for a customer that calls in to recommend that they speak to Rich?
No. No, because it's our issue. You know, we hopefully are going to have our decision in February. But, like, I know that Rich has contacted Aguila Curry and Mike McGuire and all of those people, and there were petitions and calls, and he did work with Kirk. I think mostly what he needs from you is, like, an update on the situation. And then it's kind of nice that HVLA did that from the board, too. But I think, well, what he expressed last month, he was concerned who could he communicate on here about this. But customers, we would have to be, you know, we're waiting for our decision by next month.
Yeah, but I mean, he represents a bunch of our customers.
Oh, are you asking, did you want to refer the customer to him?
So there was so the association sent a moratorium letter to the State Water Resources
Correct.
Control Board, and the association is asking, what else can we do?
Correct.
I know, we don't know yet.
Customers are also asking, what else can we do?
Right.
Rich, I'm sure, is going to ask the question, what else can we do?
Right now, all we can do is wait for the decision.
Because there's three different entities in that example, the answer should be the same amongst all of them, whatever it is.
Yeah, consistent message is, you know.
So I won't be able to have an answer for
Rich. Send letters.
Tomorrow.
But hopefully we'll have our decision so soon that, and it will be a good one. And we can tell them that they can get a water meter.
I agree with you. The state's going to save face.
So the other question I had on the second item was, Valdivinos and the flooding. You said he got flooded in 2017?
Yep.
Did he not get flooded in 2019?
Last year?
The circumstances were... very similar, the amount of rain that we got. We had a disaster declaration for the amount of rain in 2019, and we did some work in between those 2 years to make things better, so I wonder
Things got better, but you know what? If you look at the property just downhill from his property, there's a for sale sign. Mm-hmm. Right past the for sale sign is a brand new, well, it's a two-year-old trench that the water carved itself last year and the year before.
Okay.
So no, he had some sandbags and he took some precautions that he didn't do in 17. He did not. It was not much of a complaint from him that I can recall. But most of it stemmed from that blocked culvert. So when the culvert was so blocked and the water volume was so great that it just overflowed onto the street and then had nowhere to go. So since we pulled out the rocks that were in the culvert, I think we're fine. I believe we're fine for the time being.
Another story along those lines, just a little anecdote. We had some members of the public attend our local hazard mitigation plan meetings. And there's a woman, Ann Hackett, that gets continually flooded. And we mentioned that we have an I&I project in the works where we're replacing manholes, airtight manholes. Prioritized based on her location and the low line there is where she lives is part of that priority. She saw a manhole being replaced by one of these airtight ones upstream from it, say, and the next heavy rain flooded her from a different direction because the water wasn't going in the manhole anymore.
Yeah. Is she down there right near Black
Court? It's in a really tough spot, apparently, just where all the rain goes. But unfortunately for her, but from a broader perspective, the benefit to the sewer system is proving
So along those lines, the other part of this was that we... At Hidden Valley, we noticed that the detention pond is still hasn't been cleaned out yet. And I know that I think the Conoctite crew was scheduled to come in and do it.
That was pretty much a project of Kirk.
Yeah.
So without him, it has not moved forward.
And so it's not going. So is there something that, you know, between the two agencies, the two entities, that we could put our heads together and figure out how to get that cleaned out? We have grounds maintenance crews, and you guys have a vac truck, and I don't know, between them.
The con crew, the benefit of the con crew was the price, you know. instead of getting a outside contractor, these folks would,
Definitely.
Cost-effective.
Oh, I agree.
And the question of time is, you know, certainly we could have staff do it, but at what, you know, what's not going to get done?
So I guess, you know, is it possible to get a group of volunteers to do that? Is there, what do we run into both, you know?
We did discuss volunteers in the previous service year.
That's right, yeah.
And when we got down to the nitty-gritty of what actually needs to get done, you have to chainsaw. You have to gather the brush together in a pile, and then you have to burn it. So steps one and three, really not safe for volunteers to do. So then you've got a bunch of people in between the con crew just gathering the brush together. It didn't sound like it was really useful use of folks' time.
I'm seeing that perhaps Dennis and Matt Woodard can get together and meet and have a conversation at the detention pond and look at it and decide what they can do. I think what I'm saying is I think the HVLA board may be willing to spend some money in helping us with some of that flooding area down there.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good part.
Yeah.
Good.
I said, my opinion is that that's what they...
Oh, yeah.
I didn't say that was definitive.
Right,
that was the first time it'd been done in many years, so that growth was long.
So the growth really is only 1 or 2 years old at this point.
Yeah.
Better to do it then.
Well, now's a great time to do it.
Right, maybe it'll be easier to manage when it's still young.
And Hidden Valley has a grounds maintenance crew that, quite frankly, isn't that busy. It's wintertime.
It's good to know.
There's not a lot that they do in the winter.
So I do have, are you, your comments
I'm done,
okay?
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Thanks, Jim. That was really good. I have one. Do you have one? Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask, what's the process or how soon are we going to initiate our search for a full-time GM? Because I don't know, we've already got a really nice brochure from the last search that we did.
Thank you.
But in any event, I didn't know if we were waiting for the interim to get here before we... I know he's going to assist us, but... Or are we going to...
I got a surprise for you.
Okay.
Because along those lines, in that our interim, which is a six-month period, is agreeable with helping us do our permanent search and initiating it as soon as we can and is in total support. I received a resume today from a man that has an incredible experience and history and credentials in this industry who is interested in the permanent position. And I think you'll be very impressed with the resume. He's well known to
Paul Kelly, absolutely.
Yeah, to Aqua.
Yeah.
To Wagner and Bond Senior. To
you don't know Paul Kelly.
Right now, he was the executive director of Aqua for 2 years. He was Aqua president. He was director at Cal Desal. He was the general manager at Sonoma County Water Agency for 16 years. He has a 4-page resume alone. And he's local, and he's in our region. And right now, he has some commitments with consulting, and it looks like his time frame would meet our time frame. And he offered that, you know, if at some point soon, he'd just like to come over for a conversation.
Absolutely.
It's a possibility. So I was really surprised because this guy is like...
So he's interested in, you know, a full-time 40-hour commitment?
Yep, because before his thing was like, he said the reason he only wanted to do those 30 is he had another contract. And since he spoke to us, he picked up another one. So he's like, all my contracts would kind of wrap up with your timeline.
Okay.
And, he's willing and interested.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So, that's funny, Jim. You must be reading my mind. But anyway, for conversation later. So thank you. Gary, Carolyn, do you have any board member comment?
No. Just glad that we were able to make an offer.
Yeah, sure. Is there a motion to adjourn at 8:20?
Eight o'clock.
Motion to adjourn at 8:00.
Okay, thank you, everybody. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye, thank you. Meeting adjourned.